Next on Lunchtime Conversations, we'll hear a short and recent TEDx presentation from Sean Schrader. Sean is in his final semester of his MBA program at the University of South Florida, and he's called the Tampa Bay region home his entire life. While pursuing an MBA at USF, previously an undergraduate degree in business management, Sean has been afforded opportunities for service within government, education, and nonprofit areas where he has worked hard to create tangible impacts. For the last year, Sean served as the district office manager for now former Congressman Charlie Crist, playing an important role in helping oversee the congressman's work and involvements in a multitude of areas within the Pinellas County community. Additionally, Sean served as the campus governor at the USF St. Petersburg campus, where he led efforts to implement positive actions related to sustainability, student government, and community involvement. Following his graduation this spring in May, Sean hopes to travel abroad next year and then return to the United States to pursue an opportunity to serve as an officer in the Judge Advocate General's office. Sean Schrader, a brief recent TEDx talk.
Is there anyone here that likes ice cream? Well, I'm glad to know I'm not alone. It's a great treat, especially being here in Florida. The challenge for me is thinking about what kind of ice cream to have. Is there many flavors I like, but some I really enjoy, especially the seasonal favorites like pumpkin cheesecake or Christmas cookie. But my favorite is peppermint. Thankfully, I'm not the only one in my family who is a peppermint fan, as my mom really enjoys it too. We like it so much that it's become an annual tradition to try different peppermint desserts around Tampa Bay to find the best one. Usually, we're able to reach a consensus on the best one, but this year we reached an impasse. My mom liked Dairy Queen's Candy Cane Chill Blizzard the best, as it had more peppermint chip pieces, while I enjoyed Chick-fil-A's Peppermint Shake, as it had chocolate pieces in every sip. Thankfully, we were able to reach a peaceful conclusion to go to both places for peppermint dessert next year. Is Gordon Ramsay in the audience? I'd love to get a third opinion on all this. Well, I guess without that, again, we were able to reach a peaceful conclusion. However, this experience allowed me to think more about the many conversations that take place in today's world and how quickly they turn from a conversation into a fight. We've all seen this happen, whether it be on TV, social media, or the radio. It has become more challenging to share one's own perspective without getting upset in the process. Now, I could come up here and say, let's all just keep a positive attitude and we'll call it a day. But at the root of many unruly conversations, more can be done to ensure every perspective is heard and every viewpoint is considered. I've always defined civil as the ability to stay calm and collected. But today, I'd like to transform that word into a toolkit. Although it's not always easy to transform a word into an acronym, I do think it will make it easier to understand simple steps that can be taken every day to promote civility and promote civil discourse. Staying civil is very important, and we start with the C in civil, which stands for sight. Now, depending on the conversation at hand, a lot of things can be cited, whether that be facts from a research journal, personal knowledge of a subject, or knowledge obtained from peers in the community. Citing relevant information ensures that the information that's being discussed and being debated is something that has a factual background. The second letter in the first I in civil stands for inform. Going into a discussion, it's easy to assume that all of the relevant information and facts are already known. However, that's not always the case. And through informing others and informing others in the discussion about relevant information, it ensures that everybody is talking about and basing their argument on the same shared set of information. The V in civil stands for voracious. Now, it's easy to have emotion in a lot of different conversations. However, through remaining positive and firm in what you believe, it can ensure the points you are conveying are ones you believe, but also being conveyed in a clear manner. The second I in civil stands for interest. Now, you may not agree at all with what somebody else is saying in a controversial conversation. However, showing interest in another viewpoint and some other type of topic ensures that you are promoting inclusivity from the standpoint that every voice is heard and every viewpoint is considered. The final letter, L, in civil stands for learn. At the end of the discussion, there is a very real possibility there will be no kind of consensus on anything. However, having the opportunity to take away a new piece of information or a new perspective can be beneficial in so many ways, and you never know when you may be able to use that information again in the future. Now that we have assembled the civil toolkit, I think it is time we put it to work on several controversial topics that have taken place both here locally, across the nation, and across the world. Here in Tampa Bay, traffic has become a significant issue, and there's a lot of reasons for this. More people are moving to this area. There are a lot of travel destinations in Tampa Bay, and it's hard to argue that we do have a pretty nice climate weather-wise. However, I think that's an open secret now because a lot of people are moving here. And when there's a lot of people here, it leads to contributing factors such as more cars being on the road. And with more cars on the road, it snowballs because that means more congestion and longer travel times. The simple solution to this would be mass transportation options. However, finding consensus on mass transportation is where things have gotten a little complicated. According to the Tampa Bay Times, in 2014, Pinellas County voters soundly rejected Greenlight Pinellas, a transportation plan that would have raised sales tax by a penny in order to create a light rail system connecting St. Petersburg to Clearwater. Putting aside those that were in favor and those that were against this type of plan, the discussion quickly changed from one that was based in fact to one that was more based in emotion. Moving forward, as more people continue to come to this area, finding results for mass transportation is going to be very important, especially understanding how mass transportation options can be implemented. And I think this is where we can put the civil toolkit to work. For those in favor of mass transportation options, they can cite how they are willing to justify paying costs and are willing to justify infrastructure changes in order to create and implement mass transportation solutions such as light rail. For those against mass transportation options, they can inform their objectors of how they don't think that paying a higher cost or having to change the infrastructure of the community is worth it for making a change that would implement something like light rail. Across the country, the topic of energy independence has been coming up quite a bit lately. If you probably turned on the TV today, at some point, somebody's probably brought up energy independence. According to the American Society of Mechanical Engineers, in February of 2021, all eyes were on Texas, as the state had just been hit very hard by a massive winter storm, and it left many to rely only on generators or no power at all. Thankfully, Texas was able to recover from this event, and their energy grid was able to be restored. However, it's brought about a bigger conversation of energy independence, some of its benefits, as well as some of its drawbacks. A major benefit of energy independence is that it can make the cost of available energy resources lower. However, a major drawback is that when the resources are unavailable because of something like a natural disaster or something of that nature, there's really limited access to any resource at all. Again, Texas was able to recover from this event and has been able to proceed with their model of energy independence. However, it's brought about a bigger conversation of different energy options and whether energy independence should be implemented in different states and across the country. In these future discussions, I think the civil toolkit can be put to work once again. For those in favor of energy independence, they can learn more about the potential drawbacks that might come from paying a lower cost, especially if a disaster occurs or something of that nature where the resource may be unavailable. For those against energy independence, they can inform their objectors of how they are willing to pay a higher cost for access to the resource due to fear of maybe the resource being unavailable or something of that nature. Of course, I can't leave out one of the most controversial topics of them all across the world, and it's probably a question you've been asked when you went to get your latest cell phone upgrade, and that's iPhone or Android. If you checked in my pocket tonight, you'd find an iPhone. And besides the fact for a lot of my friends and family that have Android, I can't read when they sent me a text message or I can't FaceTime them, things are pretty much good to go. However, my philosophy is not universally accepted. According to Tech Republic, across the United States, 59% of users have an iPhone. However, across the world, Android dominates, being on 72% of users' phones. A major benefit that comes from iPhone is having a more streamlined and simple user interface. A major benefit of Android comes from the fact that you can have more customization in the apps you use and how your home screen looks and things of that nature. Again, my philosophy on different phone choices isn't universally accepted, and that's proof through comedies, also online known as memes, that have circulated in recent years. Although a lot of these can be interpreted from a funny and comedic standpoint, some of them aren't too funny and can get a little heated. For example, you'll see a meme making fun of Apple users that shows the Android robot piecing together the Apple logo to make sure it's complete. Alternatively, you'll see a different meme which shows a picture of an apple juice glass. On the iPhone, it looks pristine and clear and so pretty it could probably be in a painting. But on Android, it's pretty blurry and it's even hard to make out if it's a glass or not at all. Moving forward, as long as there are different phone choices available, this type of topic is going to come up. And again, a lot of this can be seen in a funny standpoint. However, online, some of these conversations have gotten a little tense. And I think the civil toolkit can be put to work once again. For those in favor of using Android, they can cite how having more customization options is beneficial for them from the standpoint of being able to change different things on their home screen more easily or maybe change how their background looks and things like that. For people that use iPhone, they can remain voracious and positive and firm in how a more streamlined user interface is beneficial for them and how they use their phone and for what reason they use their phone for. Tonight, I've shared just a few examples of the many, many uncivilized conversations that take place today across the world. I've always strived to be an optimist, but with this kind of massive global challenge, it's hard to stay positive and think about solutions. We could all just sort of throw our hands up and say, oh well, but that just exacerbates this problem and provides no kind of clear solution. Instead, I think we can all take small but manageable steps to promote civil discourse and promote civility in different types of conversations. We can do this through remembering the civil toolkit, that is, citing relevant information, informing others of facts that you may know, remaining voracious and positive and firm in your discussion, showing interest in what another party is saying or another viewpoint is saying, and finally, learning something new by the end of the discussion. Thankfully, the toolkit I've shared is conceptual in nature, which means that you can take it with you anywhere. And who knows, when the holiday season comes once again, maybe you can use your toolkit to convince the peppermint blizzard lovers to try the peppermint shake. Thank you.
You've heard a recent TEDx talk, a presentation from Sean Schrader, a May MBA graduate from the University of South Florida.